sign up for the SD Expo mailing list to receive conference updates and the 2006 conference catalog. Go to www.sdexpo.com.
Hello, world, and welcome to this week's edition of Ask Udi, the podcast where listeners get their questions on SOA and web services answered. This is your host, Udi Dahan, bringing you the cold hard facts you need to make decisions about SOA. I am the software simplest, helping you keep it simple. This podcast is brought to you exclusively by Dr. Dobbs Journal, leading the computer press in covering practical technology, languages, platforms, and tools, online at www.ddj.com. Also, don't forget to visit my blog, www.udidahan.com, for more information. This week's topic comes from Paul, whose blog post reveals an interesting discussion on how domain-driven design, layered architectures connect with different types of services, as well as how transactions and security fit in the mix. Well, once we start bringing in the domain into SOA, and specifically domain-driven design, as was described in Eric Evans' wonderful book titled Domain-Driven Design, we sort of have to shift the focus of SOA from the between services that we've been focusing on for so long in our posts and podcasts on ESBs, and bring the focus down to the single service level, and see how these two different concepts meet each other. So, domain-driven design, if I had to sort of describe it in a single sentence, is a way of structuring the business logic of a given application in a way that brings forward the domain concepts rather than shrouding them in all sorts of technical details. Layered architectures, I'm sure everybody's heard so many times, pretty much the idea is split an application into layers. The stricter architects when it comes to layered architecture would say that a layer can only talk with the layer immediately beneath it, and there is obviously no direct communication from lower layers to upper layers. For that, you'd use something like events. Okay, so SOA, once we get down to the single service level, and we combine the concepts that we've sort of revealed in our previous podcasts on ESBs, are the outer shell of a service is really composed of two different types of elements. We've got our message schema and we've got our message handlers. Now, these two things, when you try to map them to the layered architecture and the domain-driven design, it really isn't clear where they fit in, because you sort of get into a struggle of saying, well, what really is the purpose of the message handler? If you look at it as the application layer in terms of the layered architecture or the domain-driven design, then you'd say absolutely it should contain logic that directly deals with the domain. If you turn it around and sort of apply the single responsibility principle from object-oriented design, then you sort of realize that the main purpose of the message handler is to actually handle a message. And a message really has two parts to it. One is its syntax, and the other part is its semantics. So if we sort of look at the message handler as doing a transformation in both of those aspects, what it would probably have to do is, first of all, do the syntactic transformation, which means translate types, if be them XML or whatever, from the message schema to internal type representations, and do the semantic transformation as well, which could be as simple as for each different type of message, call a different type of method on the service layer. And we'll get to the service layer from the domain-driven design concepts as well. So we can sort of view our message handlers as being extremely, extremely thin, doing simple transformations on message handlers and dispatching them on the specific methods. After trying that path on one project, I sort of realized that we just sort of added yet another level of indirection without really doing anything valuable there. The reason that I didn't see any value in actually keeping that message handler so thin really had to do with the dispatch part of it. Like I said before, if all you ever do in the message handler is delegate the action to a different class in your service layer where you contain all your logic, then pretty much the message handler doesn't have anything in it. Now, when it comes to dispatch, a decent implementation of bus, the bus design pattern, not enterprise service bus, again, a decent implementation would already do that dispatch from the message type that it retrieves from the wire to the message handler. In which case, we've already handled dispatch in a generic way. We don't really have to do another level of dispatch from the message handler onwards. Another reason why, in many cases, people do this yet another level of indirection has to do with how the tools implement that outer shell of a service. If you look at web services and the web service stacks and tools that are out there, in many cases, there is a really strong coupling between the web services type of way of working and the class that implements it, be it decorated with web method attributes and the class itself being decorated with a web service attribute and having that XML namespace in there as well. In which case, that class seems exceedingly technological, and doing the separation, isolating your logic from that web services goo is a really good idea. Like I said, I mean, if you go down that path, then doing the separation would be okay. The problem is, ahead of time, and actually having that web services goo being stuck into your logic. So if we, once again, use the bus design pattern, then we've already isolated our message handler, our message handling logic, from all the low-layer goo that appears in all sorts of other types of design. So if we've already isolated that, pretty much all we're left with is the message schema and how much we really want to separate that out. Now, there are two different kinds of message schema. There's that XSD type of XML-specific way of describing a message schema, and there is, I guess you could call it, the code-first camp way of working. Let's say, okay, we also have a logical message schema, which is represented by group of classes in our application, and all they contain in them are the ints and doubles and the basic types, obviously that can be compounded into larger types, but really are just a definition of the message schema in our current platform. So for those that are still wondering on the contract first, code first type way of working, it doesn't really matter once you sort of realize that contract first means, first of all, at the conceptual level, concept contract first, rather than code first. And when you look at code first, it really means, okay, let's just write up a bunch of object and then expose their methods as is. That's really the meaning of code first. Okay, so getting back to the whole domain-driven design, application layer, services mix. Once we have our domain logic as a rich domain model that we want to expose and we want to use in our application layer logic, there is absolutely no problem in having our message handlers deal with them directly. Now, once we get into issues of transaction and security, again, I'm talking about within the service layer, not between services. That's an issue for an entirely different podcast. The issue of transactions in the terms of what is the scope of a transaction, if you have structured your services correctly, in other words, you have done the appropriate separation of services, what you'll often find is that a single message corresponds to a single transaction. The reason for that is that you will find that you don't really have to do back and forth between services to perform the appropriate unit of work from the services perspective. So, if you have a message corresponding to a transaction, and you get into the whole reliable messaging thing, and including data consistency, which my previous blog post dealt with that, then obviously you'll want to have your transaction scope not only encompass all work that you do on your domain layer, it also has to encompass the actual act of getting the message from the wire or from the queue, because you really can't do reliable messaging without it. So once you have your transaction scope dealt with at a higher level, then everything that happens in the domain layer specifically will also happen within the context of a transaction. So that really handles the transactions as well by design. You don't really have to do anything special about that. If you find that you have to start handling transactions internally, given a service-oriented architecture, I'm not talking about domain-driven design and applications as a single application dealing with its own transaction, but again, a service that is receiving messages. In most cases, those cases where you feel that you really need to have a transaction around the logic that works with your domain, it probably means that that same transaction also has to encompass the message. For instance, if we're talking about a new order to process message, that is a message that we wouldn't want to lose because of any power outages or failures. And obviously, we want all its handling to be done in a transactional way as well. On the other hand, if we look at a different kind of message that doesn't require transactions, for instance, get all orders message, that's the kind of message that really doesn't require a transaction or reliable messaging. And the same for the domain model. We really don't need to go to the domain and have any transaction there. You know, just go to the database, get the orders, and send them out again. So this issue of transactions really goes up a notch from the application layer, domain-driven design type of way of handling it, to the service layer. Once again, in my blog post, I really split it up into the two sides of it, saying reliable messages means that for that given message type, if reliable messaging is requested, then you'll want transactions around the whole thing. And obviously the opposite of it. If you don't need it at the message level, you probably don't need it at the domain level. Okay, so getting back to the whole issue of the blog post that Paul really started this whole thing with. When it comes to the different types of services that are in there, if we're talking about the application layer, or sometimes known as the service layer, and really sort of zooming in to workflow layers and workflow services and security services and infrastructure services, I think that a lot of the confusion that has really arisen around these things is by switching the word layer with service. In an application that has a layered architecture, it really makes sense to have everything split up, you know, your application layer, service layer, infrastructure layer, all those sorts of things. Those aren't services in the terms of SOA level services. Those may be low level services, but in that case, it would probably keep things clear by actually calling them layers. Now, one of the interesting paradoxes that sort of comes up, saying, you know, an application layer is a service layer, once we're talking about the domain driven design. The two terms seem to be sort of interchangeable. And once we sort of analyze it and realize, okay, why does this layer even exist? In many cases, the idea of a service layer within the context of a layered architecture is there to really provide a global, I wouldn't say a point of access, because it really doesn't have to do with a deployment issue, but rather sort of a single way of getting into the application that contains all of its logic, which includes all of the logic that actually deals with handling messages. Because a message is really something that the service defines, in which case, if we were building a single application, that we would have a single service method, which would say handle new order, and it would contain all the logic to do that. So these two sorts of things, the message handler being seen as something separate from that application or service layer, really causes a lot of confusion. But once we realize that the two things are really the same, message handlers are a part of a given applications or a given services application layer or / service layer, and we view our message handlers in the light of the bus, which means that these message handlers really have no knowledge about infrastructure level details like, are we using XML? Are we using EDI? What is our XSD type of thing? But really deals with logical terms. A message as a logical message, the actual class called new order message that has an int, has a double, has all the properties of the new order message. And those terms really being the result of transferring the XSD, or WSL if you will, to the specific platform, then our message handlers can remain totally independent of the infrastructure stuff, in which case they're as much a part of the application as anything else. And that's really the advantage that we get when working in this way is that the fact that we decide to expose our application, and our application including the message handlers, as a web service to the world, we really expose the exact same thing. We don't really have to do any special stuff at the application layer to do that. And our domain layer, our rich domain model, stays clean. Before we wrap this up, I wanted to say a word or two about workflow, because this is something that's started popping up again and again in all sorts of different contexts. There's the context of the application layer, the workflow that goes on in there, in which case those application layer objects that perform workflow, it's usually a specific kind of workflow, and not really workflow is in the term of the workflow foundation that Microsoft put out, or orchestration in the terms of the various engines that hook up various services. It's really specific workflow that has to do with what domain object and which method you call on it when in order to handle a specific message. For me, that's just message handling logic. That's not really workflow. There are other cases where you actually do have workflow, and we're talking about higher-level workflow that is domain-specific. This could be all sorts of collaboration logic. In order to handle a specific document, it has to be authorized by person A, and then it has to be authorized by either B or C, and when either one of them authorize it, then you sort of get it back, do some other sorts of logic. That kind of workflow, this is a long-running workflow, does definitely belong in its own layer. It belongs separate from the domain layer objects. I mean, if you have a document object in your domain layer, and you have a person object, and you have an authorizer object, then this workflow that works against this domain layer doesn't really belong there. It belongs separate. Now, this type of workflow is different from orchestration kind of workflow that says, in order to handle this message, I call service A, and I call service B, and I perform these transformations, and I call service C. These are different kinds of workflows, and probably the industry has to come up with different names for them. The way that I sort of view it as the first kind of workflow that we talked about, which is how do we handle a specific message in terms of the domain, then that can be called, I don't know, business rules type of workflow. In those cases where you actually want to use a business rules engine, that would be a very nice fit. But that is separate from long-running workflows. The service really has to be aware of what's going on outside of it, has to maintain state between calls. And in those types of scenarios, then infrastructure like Microsoft's Workflow Foundation and other infrastructure would be extremely valuable. Once again, these are things that go on within the service. These don't go on between services. For me, I guess that would be the best term for the word workflow. And at the top layer, when we're talking about between services, that would be orchestration, or if you want to call it choreography. So that's really the three sorts of layers of workflow within a service. Call it business rules, long-running workflows, those are workflows, and the top layer, orchestration or choreography. With each one of those layers, if you will, being handled in a different area. So that's really the connection between the domain layer and your application layer slash service layer and workflows and business rules and orchestration slash choreography. All those things being tied together within, well, that's not really the context of domain-driven design, but really the intersection of domain-driven design with all these service-oriented concepts. So I hope that really covers the spectrum. I know that we've been a little bit all over the place, and each one of those concepts really deserves a major drill down, but I really wanted to start this huge topic off with an overview of how these different types of concepts fit together. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me. That's podcast@udidahan.com. I hope that really sheds some light on it. If it doesn't, well, you know, just let me know and we'll do another podcast on it. It's really great to see the number of subscribers coming up and the number of downloads going up. Any questions or comments or things that you'd like to see, let me know. That wraps it up for this week. I had lots of fun. So, until we talk again next week, keep it simple.
Sign up for the SD Expo mailing list to receive conference updates and the 2006 conference catalog. Go to www.sdexpo.com.